You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
All right, so last week we introduced, as has already been said, a new series, a Christmas series called Behold. And this series, what we're doing is we're reflecting on the different ways that different people responded to the news of King Jesus' arrival. And last week, who did we look at? King Herod. And we reflected on how he beheld Jesus, and spoiler alert, it wasn't too good, was it? He didn't behold Jesus very well at all. Herod, we looked at, he actually saw Jesus as a threat to his power, to his position, to his authority, and so he refused to surrender to Jesus' kingship. If you want to know more about that, have a listen back or check out last week's message on YouTube. So today what we're going to do is we're going to reflect on how some unusual outsiders beheld and responded to King Jesus. Who might I be talking about? Who are some unusual outsiders, kids? Or, well, who else? What? The wise men, the wise guys, that's right. Some wise men, or the Greek, they're called magi. So let's pray as we open God's word together and behold Jesus afresh with open hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence with us right now. We thank you for your presence with us from this very beginning. We thank you as we reflect at Christmas of your coming to earth, your presence coming to dwell with us. And so, God, right now, we pray that as we're sitting here in your presence, that your Spirit would be working in our hearts, that our hearts would be opening afresh to receive what you have for us today. We thank you, God, that we can read your scripture once, and we can get something out of it. We can read the very same passage for the 15,000th time and still get something new and fresh. And so, God, we pray today that you would do this work in our hearts. I can't do it. No man or woman can, but you can by your Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, would you do that work? And would we have just be filled with awe as we behold you and reflect on these three wise men this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, wise men. In popular culture, I just said it as a bit of a mistake then. It's very popular to think of the wise men and think of three wise men, isn't it? Who knows that? Three dudes from a faraway land who see this star in the sky and then head off to go and find out what it's all about. Now, three wise men kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If you think about the number of gifts that they brought this newborn king. Kids, can anyone tell me how many gifts the wise men? Three. That's right. You got it. Three. But yet, if we actually read scripture, who knows it's good to read scripture and not just hear other people tell you what scripture says? If we actually read scripture, we discover that this is nothing but a myth. This is nothing but a cultural adaptation, a bit of a story, if you like. So how about we read Matthew's account from chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Matthew writes this. He says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. We looked at it last week. King Herod beheld Jesus, saw him as a threat, and sought to have him done away with, eliminated, out of fear and jealousy. The wise men, they see the light and they drop everything to come and behold him and actually worship him. Now just imagine, this is hard to do in our day and age, in our 24-hour news cycle where as soon as anything happens, we're getting updates in our pockets about what that smoke is over the mountain or, you know, what's just gone down over the other side of the world. But just try and imagine this for a moment, all right? You're outside, you're just chilling out, you're relaxing. It must be after Christmas because no one relaxes in the lead up to Christmas, do we? And you're gazing up at the night sky when all of a sudden you just see this flashing light just light up everything. And you think for a moment, maybe that's just a satellite. No. That is way too bright to be a satellite. Then you try and, I guess, explain it away a bit. You're like, oh, no, I must have just been seeing things. That can't have been anything. It's just like, I must be way too tired. I've just got too much on in the lead up to Christmas. And then perhaps what happens is you just kind of continue on with your evening. We're not really taking the time to pursue or work out what it was you've just seen. Now, think about these wise men. Who knows how many there were? Scripture doesn't actually say. Could have been 3, could have been 12, could have been a whole party of wise men. We don't know. What we do know is that there were a group of wise guys from a distant land who saw a star in the sky and seemingly stopped whatever they were doing, dropped everything to head off and follow that star. Scholars suggest that the wise men were, among other things, astrologers and astronomers. Astrologers are ones that would look for meaning in the stars, as in like astrology, your horoscope kind of association. Astrologers are ones who study the galaxy scientifically. It took me a while to work out those two as well. But basically, the scholars believe that they were astrologers because when they saw a star that they weren't so familiar with, they took it as being a sign and then were diligent in working out what it was that it was telling them. Now, there was obviously, there's a natural element that's unusual, and they would have looked at it and gone, oh, we're not familiar with that star. What's going on there? It stood out. It piqued their curiosity. But there's more to the story because scholars believe that these wise men were likely led to chase after this star, drop everything they were doing, because they're actually familiar with Old Testament prophecy. Because in particular, one key messianic prophecy from Numbers 24:17, it reads, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." Now, a star shall come out of Jacob. It's believed that star here is representative of a king. So a king shall come out of Jacob. And the full phrase refers to the son of David. So that's why people view this as a messianic prophecy. And then a scepter, what's a scepter a symbol of? Power, authority. Yep. And so scholars say that the scepter is representative of the Messiah, someone with unparalleled power and authority, the promised Messiah. And so that says that they'll rise out of Israel. The Messiah shall rise out of Israel. And so this scripture, a messianic prophecy, it's talking about the coming of Jesus, the coming of the true Messiah, coming down to earth, making his entry known for all to see. Now, here's another thing about the wise men. Have you ever thought about what it says about God's heart that he'd lead and draw a bunch of wise guys, complete outsiders, to Israel? Remember, contextually in those days, it was, if you're a Jew, you are by bloodline one of God's people, but everyone else, they're outsiders. They're no good. They're not a part of God's plan or God's family. Have you ever thought about the fact that God, even at this moment, chooses to reveal himself to a bunch of outsiders, what that actually says about his heart? You know, I think it says a lot about God's heart. In fact, I was reading my devotion this morning, and funnily enough, as often happens, this is what it said. It said, when God reveals the significance of Jesus' birth to the Magi, or the wise men, we get our first tangible glimpse of his desire to reconcile with the entire world, no matter our background or depth of depravity. Isn't that good? You know, I think it says a lot because it reminds us that Jesus' kinship, his authority, his power, his desire to reign in hearts of people is not limited to only those who have traditionally been a part of God's chosen people. People born into the nation of Israel, but it extends to all people everywhere. There's not a boundary that God's love cannot break through. There is not a people group that is so far from God that he doesn't want to reach. And this is good news for, I'm imagining, most of us here, because most of us here are what scripture would call Gentiles, those not of Israeli born bloodlines, but those who have been adopted in to God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is good news for all of us. This is good news if you're seeking spiritual truth as well, if you're on a journey of discerning whether Christianity is good, whether it's true, whether it's worth giving your life for. Hear me today. God longs for that you would be drawn near to him, just as he longed that the wise men would be drawn near to him as well. And you might be aware of this, or you might not, but God is always going to great lengths to draw people to himself. And the very fact that you are here today with us, or maybe watching this back online, the very fact that you are doing that suggests that God is at work in your life, that God is doing a drawing, that God is inviting you to come and behold him, to come and know him all the more. God's love is for all people everywhere. That's what we see in these Magi. And he has, this is the other great thing about God, he's got a big heart for people who feel like they're outsiders too. For people who feel like they're outsiders too, or like they're on the margins of society. God has a heart. God has a heart for us. God has a heart for you. If you seek Jesus, you will find him. So I encourage you today, open your heart. Get through it and seek spiritual truth today, because Jesus will reveal himself to anyone who's hungry for him. Amen. Yeah. Praise God for his love for all people. Okay, so now let's reflect on how the wise men beheld Jesus. Here's the first thought I want to share today. And it's this: the wise men were curious and they were hungry for truth. The wise men were curious and they were hungry for truth. They saw this star in the sky. They recognized it was unusual. The star kind of got their cogs turning. And so what do? They no doubt talked among themselves. They might have reviewed some of the scrolls that they had on hand, said of things to come or things that others had foreseen might come about. And they pondered what it could mean. They no doubt would have had those conversations. Could it be that this is that sign spoken of long ago, before they dropped everything and went to discover what they could about this star for themselves? I think Matthew 2 verse 2 gives us a bit of an insight into their level of curiosity and hunger for, and I believe, God's revealing of truth to them. This is how they approach King Herod. They said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" It's pretty specific, isn't it? "For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." These wise men are wise because they didn't only see the star, but they sought to find out more about it. They sought to understand what it actually meant. And they dropped everything, as we've said already. Not only to see the one born king of the Jews, but their desire, their heart's desire was not only to see, but to bow down and worship him, to behold him for who he was. And this is not King Herod-style worship, as we looked at last week, but true reverent worship, honoring worship, the kind of worship that God invites all of us to offer him always. So let me ask you today, how are you responding to Jesus, God in the flesh? Have you seen him for who he is? And has that led you to bow down and worship him? Or are you still to surrender to the King of Kings, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world? I want to encourage you today, whether you're following Jesus or whether you're thinking about following Jesus, learn this lesson from the wise men. See the star, see Jesus for who he actually is, and give yourself wholeheartedly to him. He's the only one worth seeking out. He's the only one worth dropping everything for. He's the only one worthy of your life and your praise. Okay, so that's the first. The wise men were curious and hungry for truth. And here's the second thought. The wise men's interactions with Jesus show their great humility and reverence. We'll get to the gifts in a moment. The kids maybe help us out with those. But it's safe to say that the wise men were not only wise, but they were incredibly wealthy men. Incredibly wealthy. Some scholars believe that the wise men were likely priest sages, highly educated, specialists in a range of fields, from medicine, religion, astronomy, astrology, divination, magic, all of the above. They were kind of jack of all trades and probably masters of many, you know? Men who were held in high regard in their culture, and they were rewarded handsomely as well for their wisdom and their special talents. Now think about this. The wise men couldn't get a $59 one-way Jetstar ticket to where they had to go, could they? Travel in those days, it involved an awful lot of time and expense, and it also put you in grave danger too. Traveling great distances, which they did, it was expensive, it was dangerous, and these men, they risked an awful lot to go and follow the star, to worship the King of the Jews. So you might be thinking, well, how does this point to their humility? Well, like rich women and men of our day, what do they have? What can they do? They can just say to one of their workers, go and find this out for me. Go and do that. Go and do this. They can do that, can't they? Because they got money, they got influence, they got power. But, you know, servants, modern day equivalent employees or apprentices, to do their biddings, you know. They could have said the word and a servant would have traveled that great distance at great personal risk to their own lives to see if it was so. But the very fact that these highly regarded men dropped everything that they were doing and went themselves to go and seek out the Jews says an awful lot about their personal hearts, their humility. Now, just so we're clear, I'm not suggesting however many of them were, they just went themselves. Naturally, they would have had their entourage. They would have had their special forces, security guards, all that sort of thing. But the fact that they went themselves says a lot about their humility. And then when they do come and lay eyes on the king, what do we read? Matthew 2:9-11. After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. The wise men's interactions with Jesus show the true state of their hearts. Not only were they curious, not only were they hungry for truth, but when they actually discovered truth, Jesus himself, they responded in the most beautiful ways. They bowed before him with reverence. They saw him for who he was. Think about this. These were men back in their day who would have had people bowing down and worshipping them. Like, really? These were the men of the day who would have people traveling great distances to come and consult with them. And here they are, humbling themselves before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this little child in the flesh. It's remarkable, isn't it? The wise men's interactions with Jesus show their great humility and reverence. What about you today? Where's your heart at when it comes to Jesus? When you think about Jesus or hear about Jesus, do you rejoice exceedingly with great joy? Or perhaps as you think about that, is your worship maybe a bit lackluster? Are you in a place relationally with God where you're regularly falling down before him, worshiping him with everything you have? Or has the news of God's good gift to us in Christ become somewhat stale or familiar? Or have you not really been investing in your relationship with Jesus? Just want to encourage you today, whether you're seeking relationship with Jesus or are already in relationship with Jesus, God wants you. God wants you. He longs to be close to you. He wants you to enjoy him. It's what he designed you for. So let's all learn from the wise men and behold Jesus and rejoice exceedingly with great joy as we bow down and worship him too. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's recap. The wise men were curious and hungry for truth. Their interactions with Jesus show their great humility and reverence. And here's the final thought for today. The gifts the wise men gave were fit for a savior king. Now, these gifts that the wise men gave were of great worth. There's no question about that. They were gifts fit for any king. Valuable goods, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Don't for a moment think that any of them were just token. They were extravagant gifts. Gifts that any king, or if any of us were living back in those times, would have been just absolutely blown away. Would have been pick us up off the floor after fainting if we received such a gift, such extravagance and value. But here's the thing. The gifts the wise men gave were especially fitting for a savior king. A savior king. What do I mean by that? Well, the three gifts had, as Beck was reflecting on for some other items come Christmas time, that we have and we might put up, or we might have flowers, or we might put the candy canes on the tree. They've got symbolism. Well, these gifts for the wise men had deep spiritual meaning. Can anyone remember, kids, what the first gift was? Yeah, gold, that's right. So gold, for example, gold was seen as symbolic of divinity. The very fact that these men gave Jesus this gift of gold testified that they were actually acknowledging him for who he was. Divine, God himself in the flesh. What about another one of the gifts? Can someone tell me? Frankincense, good. Frankincense is a gum or a resin. I don't know if you've ever looked into this. It's really fascinating. It's a gum or a resin that is very fragrant, pleasing to the nostrils, especially when burned. And it was used regularly in temple worship as well, burned as a pleasing offering to God. If you want to read about some of that, you can go back to Exodus chapter 30, verse 34. That is what they burn in the temple. So the gift of frankincense was also highly symbolic. The wise men's gift was actually pointing to Jesus' willingness to one day give himself up, to give himself up, to sacrifice himself, much like a burnt offering before God to please and honor his Father, all that we might be saved and our sins, our rebellion, forgiven completely. Naomi, what was that third gift? Myrrh, that's right, myrrh, sorry. Myrrh was a spice from Arabia that was used in embalming. It was a valuable commodity. And this is really fascinating. I don't know if you've heard of this before, but it was also at times mixed with wine, myrrh, to create a very bitter drink. Now, some scholars suggest that this was likely the drink that Jesus was offered as he was hanging on the cross, about to give his life as an offering for sin. So myrrh mixed with wine, the bitter drink. So one writer explains this. He says, myrrh symbolizes bitterness, suffering, and affliction. The baby Jesus would grow to suffer greatly as a man and would pay the ultimate price when he gave his life on the cross for all who would believe in him. Isn't that profound? We're talking about God orchestrating all of history and all of the future, even in leading those wise men to see a star and then respond out of their free will with certain gifts that testified to different things, aspects of his character, of his divinity, and then also of what his role would be to fulfill for all mankind. Isn't it absolutely remarkable? Truly gifts fit for a Savior King. So today, all these years later, we would be wise to learn from how the wise men beheld Jesus. They were curious. They were hungry for truth. Their interactions with Jesus were humble and reverent. And the gifts that they gave were fit for any king, but especially for the promised Messiah, the Savior King. Now, here's the good news. If you're not flush with cash, don't worry. You don't have to bring God gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh today. When we think about a gift that we could offer God, like really, there's no gift that we could possibly give of value or worth that would be enough to kind of pay back all that God has done for us, could there? And neither does he expect that of us. But what God does want from each of us, the greatest gift that any of us could give Jesus in return for all that he has done for us, is our allegiance. It's our whole hearts, our complete devotion to him. The greatest gift we can actually give God, as Jesus himself declared in Matthew 22:37, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. That is the greatest gift that we can give God. So let me ask you today, friends, is this your heart? Is that your heart? Are you living life now in this life with that as your ultimate goal? Or, as we've been reflecting on this morning, do you realize that there are plenty of other things, plenty of other goals that you're chasing, that you realize you actually prize above or before your pursuit of God? Let's all be wise. Let's be wise children. Let's be wise women. Let's be wise men. and behold Jesus like the wise men beheld him. Let's all, whether we've been following Jesus for years or are right now even seriously considering following Jesus today for the very first time, let's behold Jesus. Let's rejoice exceedingly with great joy, and let's fall down in humble surrender, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And because he is, he alone is worthy of our devotion and our lifelong praise. Amen? Amen. How about we pray together and thank Jesus for his goodness to us? Thank you, God. Jesus, we are just in awe of you. We are in awe of the way that right from the very beginning you've been orchestrating this beautiful story, this story of love, this story of redemption. And God, even as we've reflected today on these wise guys, however many of them, it doesn't really matter. They were wise because they dropped everything to go and chase after and discover what the star meant, and then they chose to bow down and worship you. So God, lead us in being wise guys ourselves. God, give us a wisdom that comes from above, wisdom that so often goes against the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world says, you create your life, you look out for yourself. Whereas your wisdom says, no, if you lose your life, you will find it. So God, help us to not align our hearts with the wisdom of this age, but to align our hearts with the wisdom of your word. And God, as we see the wise men choose to respond with humility and reverence, God, may you lead each of us to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ with humility and reverence too. If we've been following you for years, God, make this just come even more beautiful to us again. Give us a fresh revelation and experience of the love of Jesus Christ, even right now, we pray. And Lord, if we are seeking spiritual truth, if we've been sitting on this fence for a while, or maybe we're just for the first time even watching a YouTube clip of a church service wondering why we're even here, God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to each and every seeking heart. And Lord, that anyone seeking would know what the wise men came to know full well, that God is interested not only in people who have traditionally been close to him, but for all people everywhere to be close to him, to be in relationship with him. And so, God, we thank you that just as the wise men were complete outsiders, were welcomed to come and behold you, and then to find faith in you ultimately, the same invitation is there for us today. So, God, we thank you. We praise you for the wonder of your plan in sending your Son to the earth for us. And we pray, God, that we would continue in the lead up to Christmas and on Christmas Day, continue to behold you and not miss all the wonderful truths and the life-changing realities of Jesus' birth on earth, what it means for us and the world. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.